This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One briefcase. One moment. Could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Neat or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Jacksonville, winners of 8 in a row. They've been taking the ball away at an extremely high rate, and that Liam Cohen has Trevor Lawrence playing the best ball of his career. And so they've been impressive. They got weapons all over the field on offense. Trevor Lawrence will use his wideouts on the outside, and their pass game has improved since picking up Jacoby Myers at the trade deadline. Strange, their tight end has made a lot of plays this year. And then especially in the red zone, they'll get Travis Etienne, the running back, involved in the pass game as well if they can get him matched up one-on-one against the linebacker.
Former Buffalo Bill, Eric Wood, breaking down the Bills' opponent in the wild card round, the Jacksonville Jaguars, a trip to North Florida in the future here for the Buffalo Bills as we welcome in Dan Fates, 13WAM Sports, and Buffalo Plus. We'll talk plenty of that matchup, Dan, but before we do that, I mean, yesterday is a memorable day for a lot of Bills fans, the final game at Highmark Stadium, and I know that a lot of us have marked time with that stadium. Do you have a specific memory? I mean, do you think back to your youth and growing up in this area and going to the stadium and the bittersweetness of yesterday being the final day that we get to see a game for the Bills?
Yeah, I think I only went to like two as a fan growing up. I know I went to, I was a big Tim Tebow fan. I went to the Tebow game in 2012, 2013 in Tebow Mania. But besides that, like the memories are like, for me, the big one is the snow game in 2017. Being on the sidelines for that was just surreal. And then I think of the perfect playoff game, you know, and how that season went so up and down. And, you know, you had the back and forth with Sun Tzu and the Art of War and Bill Belichick and all that stuff. And then to just blow the doors off them and Mac Jones in the playoff game was something else. And it was a really special day. I thought the Bills did a phenomenal job pregame. I thought the halftime, I thought the montage and the Goo Goo Dolls and all of that stuff afterwards, I thought was great. And maybe unfortunately or fortunately, the Jets just decided to quit and not play. So it kind of had a little bit of a preseason vibe for the play on the field. But besides that, I thought a really memorable night for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets, I don't know much more we could say about how bad they were. Unfortunately, there were a couple injuries. We're going to hear from McDermott coming up here. Where are the Bills? You can't, right? You can't trust Matt Prater. If Prater wakes up today, hey, I'm fine. No, you know what, Matt? You can't risk not having a kicker in a game.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And Mike talked about it on the Buffalo Plus podcast we did after the game, where it's not like your left tackle is going to give it a try. You have somebody to back up. There's nobody that you would trust to kick a clutch field goal. We just saw last night in Pittsburgh what it takes. And, you know, I think I looked it up. Steven Wisnowski has attempted two kicks in his NFL career back when he was with the Niners. He missed one from 40, made something from like 26. But like, you're not going to trust that. So you're going to have to bring somebody in. I don't know who's still training, who's still ready, who is still, you know, up to par to play in a postseason game. Michael Badgley did not work out. So I know they had brought in Younghoe Koo as well during the Badgley tryout. So I really don't know where they go from here. And that's going to be a big test because we can talk about the upcoming matchup with the Jags, but there will be no greater disadvantage the Bills will be against than Cam Little on the one side and whoever is speaking for Buffalo on their side.
All right, so I'll ask the question if we're going to talk kickers. Do you dip your toe in Justin Tucker? They didn't bring him in at all. I mean, like, that's the guy that has the best percentage. I know that there's baggage there. There's another guy that's out there as well that has a pretty good completion percentage, field goal rate and percentage in Matthew Wright, who I don't know that the Bills have brought him, but there's a good list of available kickers out there, and I'm curious as to whether or not they dip their toe in any of these guys that maybe we haven't heard yet.
Yeah, this Tucker one is interesting. They mentioned it again, obviously, last night with Loop missing that kick at the end of the game. I just think it's still too soon. I just don't think you go down that route. Performance on the field is one thing. The Bills are obviously very high in character. The guys that they bring in, I can't see that. So whether they're going to have to look under every stone to see who's ready. Like, that's the other thing. Like, I was talking with somebody else earlier today, like, you may be a kicker that is, you know, was at a training camp, and you may be on a kicker who is working on your own and staying ready through week 6, week 8, week 10. But, you know, when did you stop training? When did you stop working out? When did you stop making kicks? Because I don't think it's as easy as people think to just come off the couch and kick the ball through the uprights. I think it's a lot more than that, and I think it's even tougher in the postseason.
I really liked the season that Tre'Davious White had. There were a few rough patches for sure, but that being said, Dan, they are paper thin now if Maxwell Harrison. So your concern about, and we'll learn maybe a little bit more here coming up at 4 o'clock, but what do we know about the Harrison injury yesterday?
Ankle, and walked back to the locker room gingerly. I'd say it was kind of like the way Josh Allen kind of walked back. And this is something that they, you know, you don't want to have to use depth until you have to, right? Depth is a great thing until you have to use it. You know, like that's where they are. And I think about even some of the last postseason, you know, you didn't want to have to play Kyrie Elam. And guess what? You had to, because Christian Benford went out in the first, you know, half of that playoff game. So there are those concerns. And, you know, how comfortable are you with Dane Jackson? How comfortable are you with, you know, some of the, you know, they don't have the guy that went to Houston when the whole
DeMarcus
debacle
Ingram,
happened with DeMarcus Ingram, but Darius Slay. Like, so it is not the opportune time to have Max Harrison go down. I thought he was playing pretty well. To your credit, we've talked to Trey White, who has just been phenomenal with the media, as always. Just an outstanding stand-up guy. And I can't remember who asked him the question a few weeks ago, but it was just like, hey, what is it with some of these guys and, you know, the back half of their career, Matt Milano, Daquan Jones, yourself playing better? And Trey kind of laughed. He's like, oh, so you're calling us old? And he goes, I'd call it, he said he coined the phrase of the Napa Valley wine boys, because they're like fine wine. They get better with age. So if you see me in a t-shirt with a big wine bottle and a Bills logo on it, you know that's where it is. And I just think there is something to players feeling comfortable and feeling at home. And that's something that Trey White has always preached. I think he's recovered well from the injuries, you know, let alone an ACL, let alone an Achilles, to be playing at his high of level is impressive. And you just see him. I asked him after the question about, hey, you're old. I asked, like, are you playing more physical? And he kind of laughed at me. He's like, oh, so you thought I was soft? I was like, that's not what I meant. But you see him throwing his body around. I remember in the game against Cincinnati, he broke up a pass, you know, at the goal line. It was tipped, and he put his shoulder into a guy, and I was like, Trey White, like, holy cow. So he's just playing at a really high level, has steadied the ship. I thought he had a couple rough patches. I think anybody's going to have trouble with Cincinnati's passing attack, but I thought he's been really solid since.
We're going to talk about the health of the Buffalo Bills going into Sunday's game against Jacksonville. I was a little surprised that Dalton Kincaid was on the field yesterday, Dan, and didn't look any worse for the wear. What do we know about the Bills' tight end, and certainly a weapon that Josh Allen would like to have out there come Sunday?
Yeah, injury management is what Sean McDermott has been saying, which is why Dalton Kincaid hasn't been practicing much. The knee from last year has still been bothering him. That was in the Colts game, I think, in like week 10. It's still been an issue for Kincaid. And so I think they wanted to try and get him some reps, some continuity to be out there on the field. Looked great. I think there's the stat that the Bills are 10-2 with him. Not as great without him, obviously. I can't do math off the top of my head. But, yeah, like, he has – when he's been on the field, he's been really good. It's just been a question of can he stay on the field. So I was a little bit surprised that we saw him, you know, a little bit more. He stayed in a little bit longer, I thought, than Dawson Knox, you know, who got his touchdown and his money, which was awesome. But it was good to see. Again, Mitch Trubisky wasn't under pressure at all and had time to just throw to whoever was out there. So it was good to see Kincaid, because I think, look, the Jags got good. They have a good secondary. They take the ball away. They've got good linebacker play, and they're going to need Kincaid as they're still trying to piece together. You know, as we head into postseason, they're still trying to figure out the active wide receivers. That is where this Bills passing attack is, and having Dalton Kincaid would make everything a lot easier.
Yeah, you just led me to the next question, because there was a play yesterday that held a little bit of comic relief. It was the ball going off of Keon Coleman's hand straight up into the air, which could have been intercepted, and no, the Jets didn't get that interception. But Dan, about the wide receiving core, like, Cook's inactive yesterday. Good that we didn't see Khalil Shakir, because he's the one thing you can count on. Palmer has been really nowhere.
Palmer
was
playing in the fourth quarter, guys, yesterday.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, like, is he actually going to be the odd man out here? Do they play Gabe Davis against the Jaguars for the narrative? Who do you put on the field coming up Sunday?
I think Mike's really high on Gabe Davis as a guy you can trust and can make some of those slants and those contested catches. I have shifted on Cooks recently. I was very disappointed in his drops that he had in those first few games in New England and then the drop he had in Cleveland. On the plus side, if you want to say the glass is half full, at least he was open. At least he can still move, and he can separate still. And we saw that in the last game against the Eagles. Made some plays and remembered how to catch the football. And I think that was a big boost. And then seeing yesterday, him and Josh ran probably 20 reps after the wide receivers had left pregame, after Mitch Trubisky had gone back in the locker room. Josh and Brandon were still out on the field for another good 15 minutes running routes, trying to build up some of that continuity. Like I said, he hasn't been there long. He came there pretty much just before the Pittsburgh game, and he's not any slower than what he was. So I like the fact that he's been able to get open, and I like the fact that he caught the football against the Eagles. That's a big plus for wide receivers. So the Keon Coleman thing, caught a couple passes in garbage time in a meaningless Week 18 game. I don't think that earns him a roster spot. I think you know what you have with Gabe Davis. And Josh Palmer has really been an afterthought this season, and that was very telling, seeing him play in the fourth quarter in a meaningless game. And then Tyrell Shavers has carved out a nice little role, too. Let's not forget about that. You know, he's vital on special teams. He's a great blocker. He's really solidified that wide receiver five. It's just a matter of kind of shuffling the deck chairs at times on the sinking ship that is the passing offense as to who's up along with Khalil Shakir.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Dan, a lot will be made this week of Josh Allen's road record in the playoffs. A lot will be made of the Bills' struggles in Jacksonville. The last time these two teams faced each other was last season, 47-10. I mean, it wasn't close.
Yeah.
The Bills absolutely destroyed them. And I'm trying to rack my brain to that time and where we were then. And I imagine that there's, you know, the biggest difference, obviously, you have a new head coach and you've got a new culture there built in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
You're now the 3 seed. But there is a guy on the Bills coaching staff who was the defensive coordinator for Jacksonville last year. Does Ryan Nielsen give the Bills any sort of advantage going into this game?
I really don't think so. And I know there was a lot of excitement I think some people were very excited when Ryan Nielsen was brought in. I think maybe even you asked me that. Maybe I was on the day that he got hired, and I was like, I don't know anything about Ryan Nielsen. I know that the Jags' passing defense was one of the worst in the league last year, and now they're really good, and they take the ball away. Last year they had 9 turnovers. This year they have 22 interceptions and 31 turnovers. Like, the Jags' defense is playing at a really high level after Ryan Nielsen has left. They have a whole new coaching staff, a first-time offensive coordinator, a first-time defensive coordinator, a first-time head coach, a first-time GM, and they have completely rebuilt that culture. We were just talking to Brett Martineau on the Action Jacks Network. The podcast will be up tomorrow morning on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel, and he just talked about the culture that they have built and the openness that they had built with the fans, and Tony Boselli coming back and kind of being the EVP, and how they've really kind of revamped everything and been able to unlock this defense, unlock this offense, unlock Trevor Lawrence. And Leon Cohen deserves a lot of that credit, but it starts with the guys upstairs, you know, and that brass that have retooled this team to kind of from a laughing stock, you know, Urban Meyer, Doug Peterson, to now being a really strong team. And it's probably the hottest team coming into the postseason.
If I can ask Uncle Dan a question here, because the Bills being favored over a team that has won 8 in a row, and the team that's won 8 in a row won their division and their home, it's almost like they're saying, go bet Jacksonville, you square. 100%. Okay, so this is good. 100%. I dug up this stat too, Dan. The 6 against the 3 in the last 11 years, the 6 against the spread, 17-5. Now, I know we can't equate everything, but, I mean, if we're looking at this through the Vegas lens, Dan, I'm feeling pretty good.
Absolutely. And I've been looking at this a little bit more because, look, numbers can lie. And I don't think the Bills have the worst rushing defense in the league. I also don't think the Bills have the best passing defense in the league. It's somewhere in the middle, and there needs to be context. And they're going to hear a lot this week about how the Jacksonville Jaguars have the number one rushing defense in the NFL, and you will hear that a lot. They've not allowed a running back to run for 75 yards against them all year. That's great. They haven't faced a top 10 rushing attack in their 8-game winning streak. The best rushing attack they have faced was the New York Jets. So there is a little bit of context that needs to be provided into some of these things. And guess what? Vegas doesn't care about 8-game winning streaks. They care about winning money. And I think it was because I go back to what it was when the Patriots were on their big winning streak and they were underdogs. And there's a stat, and I don't know it off the top of my head. I don't know the exact number, but teams that are on winning streaks of 6 or more games that are underdogs are like 33% against the spread because they think that, oh, well, this team's red hot, so everybody's going to bet them. Well, they don't hand out free money. So I do, the more I look into this, I think that this will be a big step up for the Jags defense to handle a James Cook rushing attack, the NFL rushing leader and one of the best offensive lines they have faced. The Jags have also faced 6 backup quarterbacks over their last 8-game winning streak. So, like, there needs to be some context into what this Jaguars team is all about. Look, they're playing really good. The Denver game turned a lot of heads. That was a big win that caught my attention. Going to Denver and winning and convincingly winning there, that was impressive. But this is still, you know, you talk about all these great things and Trevor Lawrence and Jacoby Myers and all the things that they are able to do, Brian Thomas, all this stuff. It's still, you go with the quarterback and the head coach that has playoff experience. And that's why I think that Vegas has the Bills as a 1.5-point favorite. Albeit, guys, you talked about the last time these two teams played in Buffalo and the Bills shellacked them last year. I still remember 2021 when I went to Jacksonville and watched a 9-6 game that was the worst game I've ever watched, and I'm still convinced the Bills are going to come back and win that game. At that time, the Bills had the number one rush, had the number one offense and the number one defense, and lost 9-6 to Urban Meyer and that Jags team. Weird things happen in Jacksonville.
Dan, for us that have never been to Jacksonville, what is that atmosphere like? We go to, you think Miami, oh, 40% Buffalo, but what is the Jags? Is this a hostile environment? Is it going to be neutral? How would you describe it?
No, but I think, like I said, Jacksonville's a little bit, this is going to sound weird, they're a little bit like Buffalo in the sense of, like, that's all they have, right? Like, they don't, you know, I know Buffalo has the Sabres and things like that, but, like, this is a major city. that has one team that they buy into. And so when they're good, they rally around it. And obviously with the openness, the vibe around there with Liam Pohl and what he's built, I think there's a ton of excitement. Talking to Brent Martineau, like there's a buzz that they think now there's still, you know, trepidation and they're still a little concerned about, hey, now we got to go and play, you know, the reigning MVP and all this stuff, but there's excitement. And I think last time, obviously, they went there in the postseason was 2017. The Bills had just snapped that drought, and there was 15,000 Bills fans that went down there. I know there'll be Bills fans that want to get out of the weather. I don't know if they'll want to go to Jacksonville to support the team. I don't know. But I don't know how willing Jags fans will be to sell their tickets in this spot. It'll be interesting to see. I'm sure Bills Mafia will show up because they always do. But to what extent, I don't think it'll be like it was in 2017.
Dan, what is your take on the rest of the field in the AFC and how this shakes out? Is there a path where there's a lot of pressure and a lot of people are going to say this has to be the year for Josh Allen? All of the demons have been exercised. Right, but you're hearing it and it's out there. And you see the rest of the field and you think to yourself, well, he is the best quarterback in the AFC field. How do you like the rest of this field and how it shakes out for the Bills?
I think it's interesting because for so long, you usually go with the big name quarterbacks. That's who's, you know, it's been Lamar, it's been Mahomes, it's been Allen, or before that it was Brady and Manning and Russell Wilson. Like those are the names that you like think of that like are the quarterbacks, and those guys aren't really there. So you have the unknown in Bo Nix, who hasn't won a playoff game, Drake May, who has never played in the playoffs, but you have great defenses. You look at Houston and their great defense. You look at Aaron Rodgers, but what has Aaron Rodgers got left? Like, so it is, you know, the Chargers have had their postseason woes, but their defense is playing better. And all, so like, this is the one, I think there's every fan base. We're just sitting here joking around the sports office going, I think 12 out of the 14 fan bases are saying my team could lose in the first round or my team's going to win the Super Bowl. And I think all of that is fair. I will say I am so spot on right now with my read on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I am dialed in on Mike Tomlin games. I think they can lose by 30 because that would just be so fitting for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Guys, I have been dialed in. That's maybe I haven't had a great year as Uncle Dan. I have been spot on of after the Bills embarrassed them. I said they'd go to Baltimore and win. They win. I said they would go to Cleveland and lose because that's such a Mike Tomlin spot being a road favorite. Yep. They lost. And I said they will win somehow against the Ravens last night. And sure enough, albeit on a missed kick, I made money again because Mike Tomlin doesn't lose that game.
Dan Fates, 13 Wham, Buffalo Plus. Busy week. Tell us what's coming up here.
Yeah, so Mike, Jenna, and myself were up there at Orchard Park yesterday. Our podcast is up now, kind of remembering closing out Highmark Stadium, getting a little sentimental about the old building, the excitement, and what the fans deserve going across the street to a brand new stadium is going to be awesome. Thought the way the fans did it, everything was great. Talked Jags a little bit. Today we talked to, like I said, Brent Martineau from Action Jacks Network. That interview will be up tomorrow. Then we will all be up at Buffalo on Wednesday. We'll be on a flight on Friday or on Saturday to go down to Jacksonville. We'll have coverage there all weekend long.
Dan, appreciate the time as always. Look forward to your coverage and looking forward to following up after we get a result here on Sunday afternoon.
No Mets talk?
Oh, that's up to Gino. I mean, you know.
What's there to say? Polanco's not a first
pick. Do you have enough players to field the team?
Wow.
Dan, I'm going to take a new approach. I can't really strut around like a peacock like I normally do with you in the
off-season. Well, your owner's got a brand new casino. You're great. You're fine.
Meet the Mets. You know, it's not just the Mets. Like, the Jays are doing things that the Yankees used to do, Dan. So we're just a little slow here.
I'm still back on the Braves. We're locked and loaded. I can't wait to embarrass you guys this year.
Oh, we are back. We are so back. We are in spring training form, and it's only January. I love it.
That's it.
Be good, Dad.
Have a good one, guys.
Yeah, there's Dad Fates.
New Year's resolution. I didn't hang up on.
It's good. You shouldn't hang up on the host. Shouldn't hang up on the guest. That's, I don't know. I mean,
that's
like,
just kind of the way.
Yeah, just kind of a, you know, you don't slam the door in the face of your guest as they're coming to your house. Appreciate Dad giving us some of his time. We'll talk to Nate Geary, the Buffalo Bills radio network. And I know he has a lot of emotions from yesterday's final game for the Buffalo Bills at Highmark Stadium, the presumed final game
at Highmark for the Buffalo Bills. Nate Geary stopping by here at about 4:30.
That, like, do you really see the Chargers going into Foxborough?
It's the NFL, man.
It's true.
It's the NFL.
Well, if they beat, then the kick would be here. All right, the Bills. The Chargers beat the Patriots. Then I could see them beating the Broncos easy.
Sure.
It would be the Bills having to beat Jacksonville and Houston in successive weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and having to go to Houston. Yeah. Having to go on the road where Josh Allen has not won in his career in the playoffs.
I'm sorry, Steeler fans. I'm not giving you much of a chance.
What did Dan say? Steelers going to lose by 30 because that would be the most Tomlin thing ever. If they're consistent at anything, they're consistently inconsistent. But, hey, that was a lot of fun last night. That was a fun game. If you're a Steeler fan, you're enjoying that. That was fun. If you're a Ravens fan, you are pulling out your hair. Just beside yourself. What's it going to take? Coming up next in the sports bar is Black Monday. We've got plenty of NFL headlines to get you caught up on. I also have the Francesas, Gino. I don't know if you want to do this next or not. The 2025 Francesas.
Kind of a look back, and I don't know what you included as a Francesa. Now, if you missed it before the holidays, we had our take of the year, which we doled out. But mm-hmm. The Francesa is always coming back at the better end. I kind of look forward to this as well.
Oh, who cares?
Yeah, it's a list of the things that at the time felt like a big deal, and now they're kind of a Francesa.
Oh, who cares?
When you look back at it, it's like, okay, it's not really that big of a deal. It's a list, a recap, a retrospect of 2025.
Oh, who cares?
We'll get to the Francesas here before we get to Nate Geary, Buffalo Bills Radio Network, stopping by 425. Your calls are always welcome as well at 585-866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.